This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Think warm. Think palm trees. Think baseball.
Hi, I'm MLB.com's Matt Monaghan. The long, dark freeze is over and spring training is finally here. If you're a baseball fan looking for a quick, easy way to get all the scores, top stories, and best sound bites from Florida and Arizona, you're in luck.
I don't think people realize how good we are. I don't even know if we realize how good.
The Morning Lineup Podcast, a short, less than 10-minute baseball highlight show, is available anywhere on any platform you listen to podcasts on, 5 days a week. We can't wait to meet you there.
Intellectual feast for the smart sports fan in the Bay Area.
Wow.
You're pretty much the smartest guy on the radio.
I agree.
Good Lord, how big is your ego?
Are they the funniest show in the Bay Area?
Give it a laugh. Come on. You're a funny guy. Come on. Give me a laugh.
You are funny, dude.
Hit that S again.
Are they the coolest show in the Bay Area?
And no white boys. They're cool.
That's what people are saying.
You guys are phenomenal.
This is one of the most perfect ways that I could end my day, getting a chance to talk to Mr. Mark and Dan, you know?
We'll let you be the judge.
Oh.
All I know is it's a couple of Bay Area boys talking sports.
I know nothing.
Thanks.
It's Willard and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
Happy Friday. Mark Randy, Dan Dibley with you here on Willard and Dibs. Willard will be back on Monday here on 95.7 The Game. Dibs, happy Friday. It's a hell of a day. Steph Curry, 56 points in Orlando last night. How you doing, Dibs?
I'm doing great. And, man, it just is, it's unbelievable. But when you say that it's unbelievable, it's really so believable. And it's not to the point where it's predictable and ordinary, but we all shouldn't be that stunned that Steph Curry can get hot and he can get that hot. He can hit 12 threes. He can put up 56 and carry a team. How many times have we seen Steph go on that sort of a heater? I know he's only had three games with more points, but we've seen that act before, and I'll just say this. It doesn't get old.
No,
I can watch that thing again and again and again. And man,
I think you already have watched it again and again and again.
Exactly. And I hope to see it again and again and again. And we can take calls on where that ranks among your favorite Steph Curry games, but that one's up there. It's for sure
there. I mean, I'm thinking of this game last night, and what goes through my mind is that's one of the moments, one of the nights, one of the games that when Steph Curry's career is all over, and I don't even want to think about it because that's going to be an incredibly emotional day. Or even 20 years from now, when I'm thinking back on the great career of Steph Curry, that's going to be one of those games and one of those moments, Dibs, where I'm like, oh, I remember exactly where I was watching that when it happened. Like, and I know this is just a random game in February, but this is an important time of this Warriors season, and it will only be further emphasized if this season continues down the way that it has gone the last eight games. But this is a game that's akin to some of his other top performances that actually happened on the same calendar day, February 27th. You go back to 2016, that was the 12 three-pointers, the double bang in Oklahoma City. That was also the same day, February 27th, 2013, when he kind of announced himself on the national stage at MSG, scoring 52 points or whatever it was, 54 points in that one. Like, those are where were you when? I remember specifically where I was on both those days in 2013 and 2016, and I think I'm going to feel the same way about what happened last night in Orlando.
And where were you? You were here, right? Because you were getting ready for...
I did not do the post game.
Oh, Dan Devone did.
Dan Devone did the post game last
okay.
night. So I filled in with Goo.
Right.
And,
that's right. So where were you? Were you at home?
I was just at home, just sitting in my apartment watching it. And I'm going to remember it.
Yeah.
I remember 2013 at Madison Square Garden. I was, at that point, a junior in high school, and I remember specifically, it was just my mom and I at home that night for whatever reason. We went out and we got burgers from a local joint up in Windsor, shout out to the 707, and we went home. I watched that game. It was on ESPN. I remember Mark Jones was calling it, and he absolutely went off. The Warriors lost that game against the Knicks, if you can believe it. I remember sitting at my dinner table in my parents' house growing up, watching that game. And then in 2016, I was a sophomore at Oregon, and I was sitting watching it on ESPN. Mike Breen on the call, my college roommates with me. In fact, one of my college roommates had a couple of friends in town from his hometown, and that was their introduction to me, was me just screaming at the TV when Steph Curry's doing his craziness. But I'm gonna remember watching that game like 10 years from now, because it's what Steph Curry does. He creates those sort of memories that stick with you for a long, long, long time.
And even with the 56, and you can think about all the different shots that he made, and some of them were just completely ridiculous, but we've seen it so many times, and yet he pulls up from, according to the official ledger, it's 50 feet.
That was more than that.
It was closer to 65. You and I were looking at it pre-show, and he's barely past the opposite end three-point line, and he just flicks it, like Willard was talking about earlier in the week, how he's able to just flicked a shot from however far, and this one, that thing went so fast and hard through the net, and he had about 7 or 8 shots that were just ultimate swishes where the ball almost doesn't touch the net. He was so locked in last night, and yet he hits it from almost three-quarter court, and you're like, wow, that was a great shot. But again, you're not that amazed. You're not that surprised. It's what he does on the regular. I can't believe that they didn't press him up sooner on that possession, because he gets within, I don't know, 80 feet and he's in range.
Yes.
I don't know if he can make one from the opposite foul line, but I wouldn't put it past him.
Well, he almost did in that 2015 series against the Grizzlies. That wasn't quite the opposite foul line, but it was the farthest shot he's ever made in his NBA career. He's done it in practice, obviously. We've seen him from doing it like in the paint on the other side of the floor.
Yeah.
But yeah, that was just another one of those moments. And what's crazy about last night specifically, Dibs, is 56 points. The Warriors needed legitimately every single one of those points to win that basketball game. And now they're 7-1 with Jimmy Butler. They're up to the 7 seed in the Western Conference. Like, there are so many, as we run through, and we can take your calls on this, your texts on this, 888-957-9570, your where were you when Steph Curry moments, because there's so many of them. I know you were just binged the rest of Court of Gold, which followed Team USA and everyone else in the Olympic men's basketball tournament over the summer in Paris. That one is one of them, the Golden Dagger down the stretch against France, the final few minutes of that gold medal game. That's a where were you when Steph Curry moment. Last night is a where were you when Steph Curry moment. That OKC game in 2016 is a where were you when moment. There's so many of them, and we can take your calls and text on that. 888-957-9570. What are some of the others that pop to mind about Stephen Curry, and where does this one rank on that list? But that was a huge win for the Warriors to get, Dibs, because you're beginning a road trip in which a lot of us feel like a 4-1 is a realistic goal. You got the Knicks on this trip, so you wanted to take care of business on this one, and this was a game, Dibs, early in the season. Warriors, they kind of call it quits probably late in the second quarter, and they lose that game by 20 or 30 points, and they just don't even waste the energy trying to come back. But last night it was different, and whether you want to say it's Steph being Steph or the impact of Jimmy Butler or Quentin Post or whatever the reason is, they fought back, and they're showing continually now they're an entirely different team than they were for the first 50-some-odd games
of
the year.
Yeah, that's a great point, and even going into the locker room, so Steph hits one from 50, 55, 60, whatever you want to call it, and that cuts the lead to 13 at the half.
I think it was 14.
Oh, was it?
Yeah.
I thought it was 13, but you get to that point, and it's like, wow, Steph is starting to heat up. Steph's playing great, and you're still not getting blown out, but you're still in a decent amount of trouble. Paolo Banchero was amazing, especially in that first half, and Wagner was contributing, and Orlando was on a definite heater of their own, and yet Steph is single-handedly kind of keeping them in it, but you're still down double digits at the break. And I do think you're right. The difference in this team now is you're showing a lot more resolve and you have a lot more confidence. So came out in the third quarter, and by early in the fourth, they had flipped that game completely around.
Yeah, and it was obvious. Steph kept them afloat in the first half, and that three to beat the buzzer to close the first half was a big part of it. It gave them momentum going into the second half, and then he just absolutely exploded in the third quarter to the point where there was a point late in the third quarter. Steph normally plays like the first 7 or 8 minutes of the third quarter, then gets subbed out, and Steve Kerr is set to bring, I think, Buddy Hield and Brandon Pajemski into the game, And Steph essentially says to Steve, nah, I'm not coming out, coach. I'm too hot right now. Don't you see what I'm doing? Don't take me out. He leaves him in for another couple of minutes or two. The Warriors ultimately build the lead up to 12 at one point in that third quarter. And then Steph comes out. There was a little bit of a run by Orlando, but then the Warriors came back out in the fourth quarter without Steph Curry. With Steph resting, Quentin Post was big. Moses Moody hit a big three to close the third quarter, and they ultimately hold on to win that game, and it was Steph's heroics down the stretch. But, yeah, man, that was an amazing Steph Curry performance, and it's difficult at this stage of his career, Dibs. He's now less than exactly 2 weeks away because his birthday's March 14th. And we're on the final day of February now. So he's 2 weeks away from being 37 years old. Mm. It's hard to watch that and take that in and not just feel an overwhelming sense of gratitude, because you just have to take advantage of these days for Steph, because you don't really know how many more of them you're going to get. You know you're going to get individual greatness from Steph often, but you never know. He might not score 56 points ever again in his career, and that's not saying that much, considering that's the fourth most points he's ever scored in a game, and he's played 16, 17 years, how many it is. Like, this might be one of the best games we see Steph play for the rest of our lives. And I'm in the middle of trying to take it in and really appreciate what we witnessed.
Yeah, and you have to do that. And it's just so many fascinating things about the game and just Steph in general. And I was looking at the list of 50-point games, the most 50-point games in the history of the association. He's now tied for seventh with Rick Barry and LeBron James. That's his 14th game of 50 or more. Of course, the leader, Wilt Chamberlain, he had 118 times he did that. 1 year, he averaged 50 a game. So and that's the kind of season that's going to get you to the top of the list.
Did you know, though, Steph has the most 50-point games after turning age 30, though?
Yeah, I didn't know that, but I was going to get to that list in a second. But the other guys ahead of him, Michael, Kobe, James Harden, Elgin Baylor, and Damian Lillard has one more 50-point game. And you were just talking about Steph's age, and I was thinking, who's the oldest guy to ever have 50 in a game? And it's Jamal Crawford, who was 39 years old when he had 51 points. But there's only four games by players who are older than Steph is now to have 50. Michael, Kobe, and a couple of LeBrons. So he's already sixth on that list of oldest player to have at least 50. But to your point, looking at this list, he's number 6, number 7, number 9, and number 11, and number 19 in terms of age at which you had 50. So yeah, it makes sense that he would be, you know, the guy to have the most 50-point games. You said after the age of
30.
After the age of 30.
He has 9 after age 30. Of his 14 after he turned 30.
And he's got 5 of them, 1, 2, 3, 4, actually 4 of them since he turned 34 and a half.
Wow.
So since he
celebrates half birthdays just like you
did. Yeah, he does. he had one the day after his birthday in 2023. He had two within like a 100-day stretch. His 50-point ledger is up there, like many other things with Steph. He's among greats on a lot of these lists.
Yeah, he is just incredible. And there are so many times in the past where Steph would throw out a 45-point night, a 50-point night, the 62-point night against Portland a few years ago, and it leads to like a 20-point Warrior win where the result isn't really ever in question. What made last night different and I think a little more meaningful and impactful was that the Warriors desperately needed the win, and they needed every single one of those points. And I think it leads to what we can get into next, Dibs, which is, I don't know how you feel, but this season to me is beginning to feel a little bit special. And there's a lot that goes into it. I know there's only 8 games into the Jimmy Butler era, but they're 7-1 in those 8, and they just have a different feeling around them. And for me, It feels pretty darn special. Doesn't mean I'm saying I think they're going to win a championship, but this I have a pretty familiar feeling about this team right now, and we felt it a lot. And generally, when we've had that feeling, they've gone pretty darn far in the playoffs. So we can get into that coming up on the other side.
And when they've gone pretty darn far, they've made it to the finals. Like, they have they've won one series, and that's it, just once.
Well, in the Steve Kerr era.
Correct, because with Mark Jackson that happened. But in the Steve Kerr era,
they've either gone to the, if they made the playoffs, they've gone to the finals, or they've lost in the second round.
Right.
That's the Steve Kerr era.
Yeah, because they've never lost in the first round.
Nope.
And they've gone to the finals every other time. So it does feel like right now, and I know it's prisoner of the moment stuff, but if I had to choose, are they going to go to the finals or would they be a first round out? Or even would they be a second round out? You're starting to think that maybe Draymond was onto something, right?
All right, yeah, we can get into that. Do you feel something special cooking right now? Because I do. I'll tell you why coming up on the other side. You can give us a call, shoot us a text, 888-957-9570. It's Dibs and Grandy with you on Willard and Dibs. We're sponsored by MB Jesse Painting. More coming up next on 95.7 The Game.